why is it that at age 21 you have this like resolution to want to own a property? Why do you believe in property investing?
So I gave myself until the, you know, deadline, like by 24 years old, I'm a very safe player. I don't do like online investments. I don't do any form of investments basically. So I decided that, hey, you know, like properties in Singapore is very scarce. You know, we might never ever come across like this kind of opportunity again. And I don't know what might happen next year or next next year. So I was thinking that right now I have like this great opportunity right in front of me, right? Why am I like letting it go? People have habit of maybe buying coffee every single day, or even like,
hi, this.
All right, welcome back to our next episode of Nuggets on the Go. Today we have somebody very interesting in the house. We have Min. And welcome, Min.
Yeah,
thanks
thank
for coming
you.
To our podcast. And if you have not seen her TikTok, we're going to drop the link right down below in the description box. So, inspiring story at the age of 23, own her first real estate, private property. And of course, we're very honored to have her in the house to share with us her journey.
You know, each time when I'm like asking my dad, like, okay, maybe can you try to help me with this? Or like, I try to discuss with him about a topic. He's like, talking about this again? Like, you know, he very pixie, like, you're coming here to relax. You keep talking about this. Then he's very angry, you know. So I was like, you know, like, so scared, you know. And I was like, this is my dream. You have to help me. You need to give me the advice. And I keep saying, please advise me. What do I do? And he keep talking. Like, you know, pixie.
What was that, at home?
You know, we were overseas. Oh. So he was like, come holiday, keep talking about this. House. And he was like, just relax. Who are you? So like, he said like, what you want? Like,
so kanchong. Yeah,
so kanchong. Yeah. Like, yeah. Then I was like, it's my dream. You must help me. Then he said, your dream can wait. Then I was like, no, it's not a dream anymore if I get it next time. You know, it's not a goal anymore. It's not significant anymore. So but it's not borrowing his money, you know. It's just like getting the advice and then discussing with him about a topic. Yeah. But
it's not to loan money from him.
No, not loaning money.
How big is your family?
Just my brother and I and my mom and dad.
Okay.
And my grandma.
Okay.
Yeah.
Your brother is younger brother?
Older brother.
Okay.
So he's 2 years older. He's more academically inclined and he's doing very well. Okay. So it's like, you know, we are two different people. So I'm more towards like street smart and I'll say that he's more academic. Book smart. I'll say he's book smart.
Okay. What do your parents do?
My mom is more like a housewife, but at the same time, she does take like a part-time job as an admin in Great Eastern. Yeah, and my dad, he's actually working in the Ministry of Home Affairs. Lah. Okay. Yeah, as a breadwinner. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Great.
Right. So what happened at Ipoh? You were trying to talk about.
Yeah, so basically, you know, the whole trip, you know, my mind was just thinking about getting the house purchased, right? So, you know, the whole time, all I talk about, right, each time, because, you know, every time when we're traveling together, having like family meal, everything, right, like as long as we're together, right, each time when I open my mouth, it's always about a property. And he got so like frustrated. He was like, we're coming here to just relax. Can you just like take it off your mind? Why are you stressing yourself so much?
Yeah.
He's like, you're so young and why are you so ambitious? Why are you like causing unnecessary stress to yourself? You don't need that house. It's not like he you know, then he compares, like, it's not like me last time, you know, like, we need to BTO, we need a property to stay. Why are you giving yourself like not necessary stress? Then it's like, then I was just like, but I cannot help it, you know. Like I told him, like, I cannot help it. Like my mind just cannot let go of it. It's like I was so determined, because when I was 21, I actually made like this very strong goal. Like I was like, no matter what, I'm gonna achieve it before 24. So I gave myself until the, you know, deadline, like by 24 years old. So, you know, actually more like 25 before turning 24. But just 25, but I haven't reached my birthday, right? So technically 24, right? So I gave myself that you know, those few years to actually really work on it. So that time, right, when I was, okay, I don't know, it just happened that, you know, I felt like I was ready. So I felt like now it's like a given opportunity. Why are we like missing out? You know, we might never ever come across like this kind of opportunity again. And I don't know what might happen next year or next year. You know, maybe I might need to use this funds for like something else. Like, so I was thinking that right now I have like this great opportunity right in front of me, right? Why am I like letting it go? So those time, right, I mean, to my dad, he know he's a very simple guy, so it's more like we're living within our means and like you know, just moving forward with it. Okay, I mean, my dad's not living by the paycheck. He thinks very far. And you know, he because he's like the sole breadwinner, right? You know, like we start off from very like humble, you know, to be where we are at lah. So actually right now, yeah, actually my dad has really like grown like we have actually really grown as a family, like, I'll say. So he's like the biggest advisor for me, that financial advisor. So whatever I do, right, anything financially or anything that concerns my future, he'll always be like my confidante.
Okay.
Yeah, so my mom is more like emotional support. So I'm actually very close to my parents. So one is like the emotional support, like a boyfriend problem, like a friendship problem, right? It would be like my mom.
Boyfriend problem.
Yeah. Or you know, last time, like, you know, when I, like, you know, whatever, like, anything concerns, like, more emotionally aspect, okay, like, the emotional aspect, right? Yeah, it would be my mom. So she's, like, that best friend of mine. But my dad is more, like, someone that I really look up. I feel that sense of, like, security. So my dad is, like, you know, like, my biggest confidante in terms of anything, like, financially or even, like, business, even, like, anything to do with my future, lah. Like, you know, the whole bigger thing, like, the more important things, like, you know.
Right. So during your trip in Ipoh, right, with a family, that was that the option period? The option is going to expire? Or
No. We haven't placed a deposit yet.
Oh, but you saw this property already?
So, I already saw this
property. You went to view it?
Yeah, because actually on that day when I viewed the property, right, I was supposed to see another property that was nearby, actually. But then after when I heard about, from my agent, like, speaking about how great, like, this property is, you know, how the rental yield here is significantly higher than the other, you know, other places, right, then I realized, like, hey, there's no point of me looking at other properties if I'm actually looking for, like, you know, like, like that rental yield, like, yeah, for investment. Not like I'm staying there, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So eventually you bought a freehold property in Serangoon area. It's one plus one.
One plus one.
Okay.
So actually it's quite interesting because, you know, it's one plus one, but they have, like, a lot of, like, the storeroom, the bomb shelter. So there's a lot of little things, like balcony, bomb shelter. It sounds quite small, you know. And then there's a mini study room and a master bedroom. Yeah. Okay.
And it's being tenanted already. At this point in time.
So when I actually rented it, I mean, when he helped me to actually close deal of this amount that I desire, right, then I decided to proceed on with the OTP. Then because actually we have in mind which bank to use already. But then the bank that I thought was giving an IPA, right, that was not an official IPA.
The OCBC one.
Correct. So I was actually really angry, you know. Then questioning, like, huh, you already gave me the black and white email. How come can, like, you know, can suddenly, like, change, like ting cha like that, you know. Then after that, he just said that, we already stated down there, you know, like the mini description, that it's also have to double check with the creditors, the credit team. So when I heard that, I was just like, ah, bopian already lor. Like, so that meantime, right, you know, because, like, there is also, like, time limit between the OTP to the exercise and the loan offer, everything, right? So that time I was really rushing. Then I just, like, decided, like, I told my parents, ah, forget it. I'll just break my funds, like, everything. So that's when, right, like, finally my agent actually helped me to get you know, the banker from UOB. And it was like, I didn't know that they went through all that. So from what I heard from my banker, right, she told me, like, she said that, you know, my agent really, like, called her at midnight and kept asking, like, please take on this case, because it's like, because according to my banker, this is a more complicated case. It's very unique, I'll say, not very common. So so it took a lot for her and my agent to actually to bring me to where I'm here today. So it's really because of the both of them that I'm even able to purchase a property. So I would not have purchased it with so much risk involved. Like, you know what I mean? Like, because what if I could buy the property and I cannot, you know, rent it out? I think that is also another problem. Because right now, I'm not concerned about the rental. Like, you know, but if, let's say, I do actually rent the property and, I mean, I do purchase a property and not able to rent out, I think that would be another problem aside. So I'll say that when I actually, you know, when I have in mind that I want to purchase a property, I was actually very confident that it must have existing tenant. So, but it didn't, like, occur to me that the existing tenants, right, the rental will be so low, because back then it was like the COVID, you know, you sign contract 2-3 years. Moving forward, I was very grateful that I was able to get up to today's market rate.
Right. Thanks for sharing about the purchase journey. I think it's very interesting. I'm very curious to know, like, why is it that at age 21 you have this, like, resolution to want to own a property? Why do you believe in property investing?
Okay, so because, right, basically my grandma actually moved in with us when I was 21 years old. So when she actually moved in and she rented out her property, I got inspired to do the same. So I was thinking, like, hey, actually it's such a good passive income. So I decided that, okay, like, instead of, you know, like, putting that huge sum of money into the bank or, like, maybe in an FD account, because I'm a very safe player, I don't do, like, online investments. I don't do any form of investments basically. So I decided that you know, like properties in Singapore is very scarce. So I decided, okay, like you know, it seems very interesting. Like, wow, every month got that easy money, like, you know, like passive income. You don't need to do anything, you get, you know, the income flow. So I, you know, from then, right, I decided to actually like do some research on my own. So that time when I was actually viewing other properties, right, I realized that actually you know, like a freehold property at, you know, like Farrer Park or even like Potong Pasir there, back then when 2021, I saw like, you know, the prices were affordable, like maybe around 590-600k. Then I realized that it's not as awful as I thought. I didn't, because I had the impression that, okay, properties, especially like private properties, you know, they will cost like maybe million over dollars. And I thought like, okay, like it's very far-fetched. But then when I started like, you know, searching on, because the time, back then I saw, oh yeah, I also have a very close idea of purchasing one bidder. So I minimally need it to be 1+1, because that plus one can be converted into a smaller room. Let's say in the case that, you know, I cannot rent it out as a, you know, that one bedroom. Okay, so after that, when I actually started like, you know, looking at like Property Guru, all those, right, like 99.co, I realized that actually the prices are not, you know, as far-fetched as I thought, and it's actually possible. But then at 21, right, I didn't have an NOA yet. I didn't have NOA. I also didn't have a salary. So when actually I knew about it, right, when I actually consulted one of the agents, so I asked my dad, I said, is there anyone that you can recommend me to actually like learn more about this? So basically like how, you know, the whole purchase process is like. So he gave me one of his like agent's number, like, you know, because yeah, he one of his friends recommended, like, then he gave me all the agent's number and then I inquired details from it. So he shared with me and he told me that, oh, actually for banks, right, you need minimally 2 years of NOA and you need like this amount of salary, blah, blah, blah. But we didn't know that there was a 30% haircut on that. So this part, so I was just very like determined. I was just like, okay, I'm going to like officialize my business. I'm going to give myself a consistent salary, going to, you know, contribute CPF, everything, you know. So for 1.5 years towards it, I started inquiring again. So, but then, because back then he told me that, you know, OCBC say only need minimally 2 years, you know, to actually 2 years of NOA to actually loan the amount, loan the home loan. But then after that, when I actually inquire again, right, you know, I think they became more flexible. I think this kind of things is like negotiable. So some banks allow minimally 1 year of NOA. So that's how I proceeded from there. So given that from 21 to 23 years old, right, I started working towards like, you know, consistent salary as well as like CPF contribution, everything. So it gave me that, you know, that 2 years of planning to get to where I'm at today.
So you were actually inspired from your grandma.
Yeah, correct. Right. When she moved in.
Okay, because that was the first time that you see that actually you can use rental as a passive. Like a, right. Yeah. Okay. When did you start your business?
Actually it's 2017. So
that was about 6 years ago.
Yeah, actually right after I graduated from O-levels, my O-levels, right? I actually, you know, I started business because I wanted it to be like easy money, lah, you know, like, you know, flexible own time, own pay. So that time when I started my business, right, it wasn't really a passion thing. It was more like I wanted it like an easy way out. So it's better than working as like, you know, in the banquet or as a waiter, you know, typical, like part-time jobs. So back then I just decided that I wanted to do an online business. Then I started from Carousell. So I actually wanted to do like inventory stock. So like, you know, like reselling. But then, right, I actually didn't want to risk it. So instead of buying the whole inventory stock and then selling them online, right, I actually listed the product first and see if there's any inquiries on it. And then when I tried this first trial, right, there wasn't much, like, responses. So I decided that, hey, this is not a good risk, you know. And I decided, like, okay, baking. Because, like, ingredients are cheap. And even if, let's say, I cannot actually, like, you know, do it, I mean, I cannot sell them, right? I can use them for my own personal use for cooking, ma. So back then, I just tried, I just gave it a go. But then, you know, when I was 16, I mean, I was, actually, that time I was 16, turning 17. So I haven't started my poly. So the whole time when I was 16, I was just, like, practicing how to bake. So watching YouTube videos, all this. But because I'm very financially independent, like, we don't just, like, hey lady, I want money, can you just like give it to me to buy my ingredients or whatever. Actually, like, to be honest, right, my whole lifetime, right, the only time I ever remember asking my dad for money once, right, was USS ticket when I was 14.
Okay.
So ever since, like, never, like, we've never, like, I've never gotten anything. So even from the clothes I wear to everything, right, it's all our own pocket money. I mean, 1 year, one time he'll sponsor lah, like Chinese New Year. Yeah, but Chinese New Year.
When do you stop taking pocket money?
No, actually, he did give pocket money for poly as well.
Right.
Yeah, he did. But the minimal lah. So he'll say like,
but anything extra.
Yeah, so he'll give like maybe one day $4 or something for 5 days lah. So technically it's about $20 per week. Mm. So he will always say like, okay, whatever I give you, right, whatever you spend that's over the allowance that I give, that one's your problem already. I'm not gonna like give you more. I'm not gonna like do like, you know, like not like some people, like example, like, oh shit, I overspend, can you help me? He say like, I'll just cover the basic needs. So whatever you want to do, like for example, you like a sports shoe, you like this clothing, whatever, right, you have to get it at your own. So it's like he's not doing it, you know, with the negative mind, but more like
training.
Yeah, correct. Like wants us to be independent because that's how he was brought up.
Mm.
So he don't want us to have that reliant attitude lah. Mm. So my brother and I, we just were very independent growing up lah.
Mm.
So everything we do, right, like anything financially, right, is all from
part time jobs and all.
Yeah,
that.
Everything. Correct.
When was your first part time job?
I'll say I think 15, 16. Yeah, I think I was working at the, when I was 16, anyway, I can't remember. I think 16 lah, should be 16.
Right.
Yeah, so I was like doing multiple part-time jobs like banquet. And then like, actually no, like banquet I was traumatized. I did once and I didn't want it. No, sorry, they're not counted.
Why was it traumatizing?
Because it was so heavy, you know. Then I was just like, I'm so small build. Then it made us carry like that whole heavy weight thingy. Yeah.
Mm.
But the money was better, you know, like significantly better than other waiter jobs. Like back then it was $8 per hour. But I think banquet paid $10.
Mm.
So I, yeah, like, you know, whatever that earns more, I'll go. I mean, not no like dirty things lah, okay? Yeah, so like more like ethical jobs. So okay. So basically I actually I work a lot as a waiter. Yeah. So when and BreadTalk as well.
Okay.
So back then I was like rotating between both, like okay, like waiter job and then BreadTalk, and then
During the holidays.
So it was like always I'm always doing something.
Okay.
Like there is no just like chill late, relax, use phone. Yeah.
Right.
And I also don't really have the habit of like using my phone too much. So it's like as much as I'm like I promote my brand on social media, right? I'm not really
You don't consume social media.
Yeah, correct. Okay. I mean occasionally.
Even until today.
I do post, but I don't use it a lot.
Right.
So I only use it to post things.
Yeah.
But on my free time, right, I don't just go through TikTok or those. No, I don't have that habit.
Okay.
So I think since young, right, like, you know, when I realized that I'm hooked on something, right, like from where I get addicted, from where you play a handphone game, right, and I can like get hooked on for maybe 2-3 hours, right, I'll just immediately delete it. So it's just like a habit.
Why do you have the habit?
I don't know. It's just like you realize that why am I
don't want to be controlled.
Yeah, I feel like why am I like wasting my time?
Oh.
Yeah, like why am I like okay, what do I get after I win this match? Like, you know, it's just been there like naturally. You know, some people are just born like that. Like, I don't know. So it's just like
from what age was this habit formed?
I don't remember like primary school, because I was addicted to playing the block game, you know.
Okay.
Like, and then like sometimes watching YouTube videos, everything. Then I realized like, what do I gain? Like you know, like what do I gain from this? Like there was one time, you know, like my boyfriend introduced me this Crash Landing on You, like the Netflix, right? Wow, okay. I think within 2 days,
drama.
Yeah, oh, 2 days, okay. I finished everything.
Okay.
Then I was like, oh my god, my whole mind, right, is just flooded with that Korean drama, right?
Yeah.
That I'm not even doing anything. Right? I'm just so like addicted, right? And I realized that, like, oh my god, like in the real life, right, what did I gain? Like what have I progressed? Like from this, like what have I actually benefited from just watching this apart from it passing my time? So I realized like, okay, no, I'm never watching. That's why I don't like watching movies. I don't watch like dramas, television. No, I don't do all that. So I don't know. It's just so weird, right? So like, yeah, and you know, because my boyfriend is like, he loves to watch movies and like everything. That was like,
next time I go with him. I love movies.
No, I don't. And then I also told him like, cinema waste money. Like even though got a student price, I mean $6.50. I'm like, $6.50. You watch at home. Free what? Oh, I need to like spend. You know, just like, oh, I think maybe I have this habit because of my parents. Because last time, right, you know, like we were very frugal. Because my dad's like the sole breadwinner and he's like coping with everything on his own. So back then, right, because like to just save like 10, 20 cents, right, he would like literally compare with 3 different like supermarket outlets. So he can walk to like NTUC, then go Sheng Siong, then have to go another like Ang Mo supermarket. Like, you know, like just to compare like for that offer.
Your dad, huh?
Yeah, my dad and mom actually, both of them.
Okay.
So, and then my mom, right, she's never had like new clothing to wear. So it's always passed down. Even only 1 year buy one time, lor. Chinese New Year, she buy a new, just one piece. So we were that frugal, so everything was passed down. Like, so my life, right, like growing up, everything's all secondhand. So even from like the bags we carry, the shoes we wear, everything's all given secondhand. So I was brought up in a very humble background. And I think from that, right, because my parents were often looked down. So you know, even own families also. I mean, very, very real world,
like
right?
Chinese New Year, all this,
They don't say it, but behind the back, you know, they talk about it. And when we ask for help, they don't give the help that we need, that kind of thing. So you know, I was brought up in that kind of lifestyle. So, but I didn't really see it as a problem. I thought that I was rich growing up because my dad gave me everything that I needed. Mm. So, I know, like recently when we talk about, especially during COVID period, when we, you know, we gather around, we talk about our lives together. Mm. Then I'll tell him like, you know, when I was young, I thought that I was rich because, you know, once a month or, you know, once every don't know how long we'll eat in a restaurant, right? And then I get to eat sushi, you know, like in Ichiban sushi. Mm. Then I thought like, oh, this is what rich people have, you know. And I felt like the fact that we could even go into this restaurant, we are rich. And then, you know, I realized also, right, a few years back, I realized for my aunt, right, that during daytime when my dad eats, right, he only just get maybe rice and vegetable, like one liao ni or something like that. Then just to save that, you know, the extra money to bring us out during the weekend, you know. So so when I learned about it, I realized that, wow, my parents are so noble. Like my mom only eats our leftovers. Mm. So every time when we dine out in the restaurant, right, she'll just eat whatever my brother and I order. They should eat our leftovers. So my mom has never like taken like her first choice of meal, or every time when we want to step into a restaurant, she always ask my dad, can you afford it? Like, are you sure? Like, is it really like you can cope with this? Mm. So it was that, you know, I was brought up in that kind of environment. So I see my parents like, you know, suffering throughout those years, right? Mm. So as I got older, you know, when you mature, right, I realized like, you know, like, hey, like this is not the kind of lifestyle that I want to live in. Like, example, like, you know, like I think something my boyfriend said was really deep, you know, the time when I was doing quite okay already when I was 18, because we got together when I was 18, I brought him to eat Ritz-Carlton, you know, like the first one of our anniversary meal. So it was like a buffet. Then he told me this, I don't want to come here just for the experience. I want to come here as a lifestyle. So I don't need it. Then when I heard it, I was like, wow, that's so deep. Like, so many of us do things out of the experience, not because we can afford it, but you know, the experience, but it's not because you can do it as a lifestyle. So when he said that to me, right, I told myself like, okay, whatever I'm gonna have today, whatever that's in front of me, whatever I put on my plate, right, it's gonna be because it's a lifestyle. It's not because of, you know, one time show off, okay, done. Like, you know what I'm saying? So like, example, like for example, I buy a branded bag. It's not just to buy it for like an experience or like to show off, that kind of things, because I can afford it and it's like my lifestyle. I can, you know, I can accept it. So and it's not to go through a lot of like sufferings or whatever to just get there. Mm. So when, you know, when my boyfriend said that, I was like really like enlightened. Like, you know, I realized that this is the kind of lifestyle that I want. Okay, not luxury lifestyle, but more like financial freedom. Mm. So it's like, I want to come to a point where I don't have to like look at, you know, because every time when we buy something, I always have to like flip the price tag. Yeah, yeah. You know, when you order something, you have to look at the menu, the price, everything. So I thought to myself, like, why am I making my life so difficult? Like, why am I going through all that? And why am I putting my family there? So even my dad himself and my mom, like, why are they going through all that just because of us? So that became like a major motivation for me to actually work really, really, really hard. So back then, like, because I have a very close relationship with my parents, like, I do extra things to like, you know, pamper my parents. I bring them out on things that, you know, they really want. So yeah, like to be even here today, it's like I'm very grateful. Lord. Like, even though I don't have much, you know, growing up as a child, but I feel like my parents really gave me like everything they could. So that's something that I'm very, very, very grateful for. Mm. And it actually also reminded me of that time, you know, in primary school, we have to buy like those newspaper, like the 大拇指 or those, you know, like, then I felt like, you know, every time when people after lesson, they just throw away the newspaper, or even like Straits Times newspaper, like the school will force us to buy, right? So after that, I realized like, you know, like subscription, it was like $5, $6 per month or something. Yep. Then I realized like, why is people just throwing them away? I think maybe I'm just a bit overthinker, like, you know, growing up a bit of an overthinker. I didn't tell my dad that I needed that newspaper for my school. So I started taking off from the recycling bin from other classes to just use it. And then, you know, in times when, like, you know, I cannot find it, right, I'll just lie to my teacher, like, oh, I forgot to bring, or like, you know, something like that. So when my teacher actually asked me, like, why are you not subscribing to, like, this newspaper? Like, you need it for your class. And I just lied to him. He said, oh, my brother from another school has it. My brother from, like, he's just passing down to me. So, yeah, well, I just, like, yeah, I think I just saw my parents, like, going through all that. So I, you know, I didn't let them know, and I just like try to do small things to actually help them with their finances, lah.
So yeah. When you were young, right, did you ever feel like you resented this the fact that maybe you were born into like this environment, or like, yeah, your parents? Did you ever feel upset or resentment?
That's very funny. No, I didn't. I felt very happy growing up. Like, I felt like I thought I was rich. Like, I thought like I had everything, because, okay, my dad really invested all his salary on our tuition also. So, like, you know, it's like on our tuition as well as like, you know, basically like, you know, on some weekends we go out. So I felt like, you know, I had everything. Back then, of course, you know, when you're a kid, you don't know real problems out there. So I didn't know that my dad was like suffering alone. Like, you know, he's eating all those budget meals while he gave us, you know, like the best meal. And then for my mom, she's just taking all the secondhand leftover things. And you don't realize, you know, when I was a kid, when I was eating whatever I want, right, I didn't realize that my mom was actually eating my leftovers. But then now that I think back, right, I realized that, wow, like, you know, something that I look back and feel even more grateful for. Back then, when I was young, I thought that I was rich. Now, growing up, looking back, it was actually not that I'm rich, but I had everything that I needed.
That
you know?
Parents sacrificed for you to feel like you never had a lack.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So, from all the experience, right, to be where I'm at here today, right, I'm even more grateful for my parents. Or, like,
at what age do you realize that?
Yeah.
That your parents were, like, sacrificing for you guys.
I think around 17 to 18 years old.
Oh, poly days.
What holiday?
Poly days.
Oh, poly days. Actually, I was quite of a rebel. There was one time, I think when I was 17 that time, right, I had a huge flip with my dad. Like, you know, I threw the... it was Chinese New Year period, so that was the worst. You know, we were just eating and don't know, we just started arguing over some small problems, right? Mm. Then I just took the whole plate when I was eating, I just threw onto the whole dining. Yeah, I was... like, it was that bad. Wow, you know, my dad, he stood up, he flipped and he like... Pyah! Like, you know, he held back. I can tell he wanted to slap my face, but he held back and he just hit me on my arm. So, but the arm had bruises and he had bruises on him. So back then I really hated my family and I wrote a note and I was just like, I hate everyone here. I said like I hated everyone. I just want to get out. So that made me so determined, right? Okay, that one factor made me so determined to have money, right? So I can move out. So when I left home, right, my dad just like, oh, like, forget it, just rebel stage, you know? So my mom was like very worried of me. Like, I mean, of course my dad's worried, but you know, he kept it in, you know? Like, you know, we all have to grow from that stage. So that period of time, I didn't have a good relationship with my dad, especially because he's that kind of person that he don't express much how he feels. So he will be like, do you want to eat dinner together? And I'll be like, no, okay lor. Then he just go. He's not like my mom, like, come lah, eat together. We're spending time as a family. Like, why not, you know, come and talk to us. Even if you don't want to eat, just have some drinks. You know, my mom is that kind of person. She's very family oriented. So she values this kind of little time, you know, of us spending as a family. But my dad back then, he's just very straightforward. You don't want miss the one lor. Like, why should I force you? But you know, after COVID, right, when we really, you know, during COVID period, everyone like around 10, 11 o'clock, right, we all just sit out in the dining room and just talk until 2 a.m. Like every single day, you know, every single day. So it became like a habit and we just share with each other like, hey, how's our day, blah, 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 everything. And he'll tell us like, you know, he used to never mention about his work stress. So he'll tell us like, oh, I went through this and that, you know, then we give each other moral support. And I'll tell him like, okay, don't worry. Even if you need to sell this house, quit your job, so be it. Like, you know, I told him, as long as we are living one whole family together, like, that's all that matters, right? So, you know, like, we gave him a lot of like assurance because he's the one coping with the house right now that we're living in. So, you know, I was just telling him like, if you need to sell this house, just sell, or why you want to make yourself so miserable, right? So, you know, like, I think all this moral support, like, you know, really helped a lot as a family. So after that, you know, like, ever since, I'll say this period of time, he became more expressive. So it's like, when I tell him that, okay, I don't want, like, for example, I'll be like, I'm very busy with work now. Like, I don't want to come out for dinner. And he'll be like, it's okay. Later, we can help you to do it. So, like, why not you just come out and then just take it as a rest now? Like, you know, he'll encourage me out. And then when I see this kind of little improvement, I feel like I look back like, eh, he's such a different person, you know. So I'll say that, you know, it's like, you know, like they always say, if you want someone to change, you have to change first. So I think, like I started out, like, you know, trying to, like, be there for him and like learn to express myself. And then my mom on the other hand, right, she's like, she's always like talking to my dad. She was like telling my dad like, hey, don't push your daughter away, like, don't push your, like, you know, it's very important that we all like come together as a family. So she really brings the family together, and she always talks how, like, to me about how great my father is, like what he did behind the back and behind the scene, everything, like what we don't know about. So from that, like, I was really like, that's how I actually really bonded together, especially.
So actually COVID brought the whole family closer.
You know, some people, they quarrel at home. They stay they spend too much time together. COVID really brought us,
like,
together.
Healed the family. Help everyone open up.
That's correct.
That's awesome. I'm very interested about, like, the age. So maybe let's talk about your journey towards, like, saving for your down payment, right? At what age did you start saving? And what were, like, some of the strategies that you have? Because I think a lot of young audiences, they'll be able to learn from saving tips and all that kind of stuff.
Okay, I'll say that I actually, okay, because I started my business from 17, right? So back then, you know, when I earn money, I'll just spend it, you know, typical teenagers, like, you know, like, happy man, got money. So I think I really, really started saving around 20 years old, like from 20. But I didn't know what is it for. So I just thought like, okay, I'll save it and just take it as for raining days. Like, you know, like, maybe one day I might need it. One day my family will have, like, some financial crisis or whatever, right? Okay, like, this is the emergency money. So Back then, I just like whatever I earn, I just save. But I don't really have a habit of spending also. So even growing up, right, I never had a habit of taking cab or like maybe like even maybe eating out much, all this. Like I always just wanted to budget. So even last time, to the extent of saving, right, I would like, because back then I needed money for my business because like I don't have my parents to actually support, right? So to actually save like a few dollars, right, because those days, like to save for those ingredients, right, I actually like save out on the transportation because I have to pay my own transport, right? So I just decided to walk, no? Like I did just instead of taking buses or just like flagging a cab, you know, I just decided to walk. Or even when we eat out, right, I mean actually I don't even eat out. So actually I'll say those days I didn't have a lot of like social life. So, you know, my friends were all like having fun, like going out, maybe they watching a movie outside, eating out, right? I always say like, no, I just go home. So those times, right, I'll say that I have very, like, to save up, you know, to, okay, I actually started saving at 17, but the real, like, more proper one, right, is around 20. So, like, those times, like, little bit, like, no steps, right, small steps, right, was, like, when I actually save up on T-beats and, like, even snacking, everything. So, I'll say that all this little money, they snowball over time, you know. So, I started having habits from there. So, I no longer have, like, a habit of, like, you know, buying a drink when I eat. You know what I mean? I always take out my own water bottle. Or even when, you know, like, now I don't have a habit of snacking. So, so it's, like, it kind of also helped my health, you know. So, it became, like, last time was forced. You know, it used to be like forced, like, okay, like I need to control myself. Don't buy this $2 TV so that I can save $2. But now it became like, I don't even crave it anymore.
So, do you track how much you save? Or you just like, okay, don't care, just don't spend, don't spend?
No. I just like, don't spend.
You just have a separate account.
So, actually not really save, because back then I only had one business account. As I grew, right, at around 20, I had multiple bank accounts already. So, one would be like my business, and then another one would be like savings that I cannot touch, and now I'm spending, and I want like maybe like extra, I don't know what's extra, maybe traveling, all those. So, like, actually I got quite a number of banks. So, and then also I did like fixed deposit as well. So, as well as endowment plans. So, those are like the things that I did, you know, to really plan for my future. So, I've never been hooked on or like gotten interested in like investments or like any like crypto, all those kind of online investments. So it was just more of like playing on the safer side. So you know, when people ask me like, how did I save like this huge sum and be like 200k, right? Actually I really don't know how. It's just like over time you build habits, you know, like over time you just, you know, build habits, and you just, you know, have that lifestyle where now I don't just a bit, right, just take cab. Like for example, I can actually like, you know, from there's a direct line to Serangoon. I'll just like, because I stay in Punggol, so from Punggol I'll just take a direct MRT down, like, or just take a bus. Like I don't have it like, oh, I'm lazy or a few tired, you know, like want to sleep that extra 1 hour, then just take a cab. Like don't really have that in me because it's a lifestyle already.
So you build habits that help you accumulate.
Correct. That's right. So I'll say it's building habits, lor. So even eating out also, I didn't really have that anymore. I mean, now maybe I'll spend a bit more than I used to. But even now when I spend, right, 70% save, 30%.
Don't spend more than 30%.
Correct.
what do you have this theory? Who
actually, my dad.
That?
Yeah, my dad gave me that. So I asked him, like, how do I save up? Like, what do I do with the money that I earn for my business? Then you say, for me, I always like put in like, you know, 30% aside for spendings. All the 70%, no matter what you died, I cannot go and touch it. So it's like an emergency fund. So from there, right, I started like challenging myself. Okay, you say 30%, I do 20%. So, you know, that's how it really, like, it really helped me. So I'll say that on days that, you know, sometimes, for example, like even 30%, you don't always use up that whole 30%, right? But some people just like, anyways, I got the extra money, so I'm just gonna eat out, treat myself good. I don't have it in me. I just feel like, okay, well, I can save more, the better. So even if I spend 10% only, right, I'm just like, okay, leave it as there. Don't purposely, you know what I mean?
So in terms of reaching your goal, right? So so I think you were sharing, okay, 17 you started earning. At 20, you started taking it seriously, right? Building all your lifestyle habits. And then at 21, when your grandma moved in, you had the vision to buy your first property. So when you had that vision, right, did you reverse calculate like, okay, I need to save up, like, for example, 200k? So you reverse calculated when you spoke to your dad's friend, the agent at that time, right?
Correct.
So when you had this amount in mind, did it how do you achieve it? Like, is it like every month, or how do you work?
Do you have a plan, like how much you need to save every month?
So I'll say, right, you know, because actually I've already been saving. Actually, technically I started my saving at 17. So taken very seriously at 20 years old, like really like
saving a lot.
Saving a lot, like 20.
But your business was doing well.
So when I was 21, right, I actually, you know, like I sat down, right, and I wrote in a paper, like, okay, for example, one month, right, I have to save X amount. And then I'll I'll compare to the existing amount that I'm earning for my business, and I'll see the difference. So when I saw the difference, I asked myself, how am I going to cope up with that difference?
So what you had to save was more than what you were earning.
Yeah, correct.
Okay, okay.
So I asked myself, okay, what am I doing that is like lacking behind, right? So I did like a little plan, you know, like I, because yeah, I wrote down everything, my train of thoughts, everything. And I wrote some motivational quotes, everything to like, you know, push myself. So I was thinking like, actually I was earning decently well for my age already. I was thinking like, okay, I'm still short of maybe, let's say like 1,000, that kind of thing, right? Then I asked myself, how can I cope with that 1,000? So I take this amount of money and divide by 30 days and you know, like really focus day by day. So step by step. So when I did that, right, I realized that, okay, that one day, how much more can I earn? What do I do? So I started looking for part-time jobs to cope with it.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So cope with the difference.
21 years old.
Yeah, 21.
Okay. So while running a business, you realize, okay, this business is earning me this much.
Yeah,
but correct. I need to save another 1K more, which means I need to earn like XXX a day.
Correct.
Okay, so
Are there any employees in your business, or you're the main person?
Yeah, actually I was like the sole proprietor.
Until today?
It was a home business.
Back then. Yeah, okay. 21. Yeah, so I was thinking about what's the difference. So actually, right, I was only selling cupcakes, right? Back then. So I realized that, hey, actually I can also resell other things. So actually I did a smaller business where I sell frozen food. So the frozen food actually helped me to actually recoup the, you know, like the differences. And then also, you know, when let's say dad died, right, I started working, you know, as an admin with my mom. So I followed her because they, you know, all those directors, they needed like some help with the admin job. So I also followed her for around 8 months. Yeah, around there. So those period of time, right, I really, you know, use those extra time, because of course not like I'm working 24/7. It's like maybe every day on a daily basis, I'll wait around 4 to 5 hours to be earning this amount of money. But of course, like business, you cannot force customers to buy your order, right? So during the extra time, right, I just go out to do all like ad hoc duties and like extra like admin, like, you know, with my mom. Yeah, I just follow her.
Get
for
more part time income.
Yeah, part time. Yeah, part time jobs.
Correct? Wow. Okay. So from 21 until 23, of course, you mentioned that you started saving seriously from 20. That means within about 2.5 to 3 years, then you managed to save up about 200,000 already.
Wow. Correct.
Okay. This 200,000, can I ask, is from pure savings?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
So in terms of your savings journey, right, what do you think is more important? Cutting down, meaning like saying no to ABC.
Or earning more.
Yeah, or earning more.
I'll say cutting down because, you know, like, for me, right, it builds habit. And you know, like, it's just like people have habit of maybe buying coffee every single day, or even like... It's like a coping mechanism for some people. Or even let's say small things like even smoking cigarettes. You know, those kind of things. Or even having habits of like shopping, drinking every night. Or even shopping.
Bubble tea.
Yeah, correct. All those small things. Or even taxi. Like, you know, all those kind of small habits.
So you feel that, yeah, we have the king of Grab here.
Yeah, king of Grab is in the room with us, actually. Yeah.
So to you, the prudency in lifestyle really helps you a lot.
Okay. Yeah, I'll say that.
What advice would you give, like, maybe somebody that wants to start their business at a schooling age, or maybe a very young age?
I'll say that a lot of sacrifices has to be made. So right after school for me, I just immediately come back home to like take in orders. So I didn't, like, you know, I didn't have a lot of social life. I didn't really, you know, like a lot of people after school go out, go shopping, you know that kind of thing. So, or eat out. I didn't have that. And then also that, you know, I'll say that like building habits is very important. Just like, you know, people like me who actually like didn't have like the luxury of like taking money from my parents, right? And then like as like my starter, you know, like my business startup, right? I say that, you know, saving all this small little money, you know, on your daily basis is very important as well. So these are the two that really helped me to be where I'm at. So yeah, it really took quite a bit.
Actually, I'm super like fascinated by the idea, right, that when you first wanted to start your business, it wasn't that you knew how to bake or you were passionate about baking. Because people usually think you have to have like a passion, you have to like it or have a skill or a talent in it, then you can make a business out of it, right? But you basically look at, okay, what is there I can do?
Yeah.
I don't have to like it, I just have to, like, what is the lowest risk I can do in the comfort of my own home? Yeah, I can kind of control it, and then you just deep dive into baking, right?
That's right.
Yeah. So today, would you say you like baking, or is it just a business to you?
I'll say, okay, I love to cook, actually. But you know, when you do everything when you do things every day, it becomes very robotic and becomes very, you know, it's like you don't learn to enjoy it anymore. Mm. So it's like, okay, I can like baking for that one day or like that one. So because, okay, I used to bake very occasionally, but it's not like I like it. It's just like, okay, nothing to do, just go and bake all. You know, that kind of thing. So I would say that right now is, you know, what was it again? I'm so lost, so much information.
When was the last time you ate your own cupcakes?
I have to, you know, sometimes I have to try. Oh. Yeah, so like, as a food, right, I don't know how long had I. Okay. So it's like one by one testing, like from the buttercream itself, yeah, and the batter itself, is it all? Oh. And yeah, but as a whole treat now, never. Yeah, yeah. I think maybe 2 years
And you mentioned
ago.
That just now, yeah. You recently started your own, so-called like, you took like a kitchen place and stuff to bake and all that, okay.
Yeah, oh, I'm so sorry. Do I still like baking, right? I'll say that, I do enjoy occasionally, but you know, when things get too much for me to handle, you take it as a chore. Mm. So, but this is my livelihood.
Yeah.
It's like how you might have a passion for something, but when you do it every day, you get tired of it. Yeah. Yeah.
What are your passions?
My passion,
right
now.
What do you like to do?
I mean, actually, I also don't know. But okay, but I'll say, if I have to, actually, I do like cooking. Mm. But not in every day. I mean, not everything has to be like overdone, what I mean? Yeah.
Not because you like it, you have to do it every day.
But if you ask me what do I like, actually I like to socialize. I like to talk to people, I like to learn from people. Mm. I like to connect with people. But for that, right, so I like to learn from people. Mm. So it's not like meaningless connection. It's not like go to gossips. Aww. Like I like to like learn, like, I want to gain value from this friendship. Mm. Okay, it's not like a superficial thing, like, you don't benefit me. No,
you
not
like meaningful conversation.
Correct, meaningful conversation. Okay. So it's like I like to learn something from you. Mm. So it's like, I feel like a lot of friendships, like especially like my age, right? Especially when I was 18, like it's a lot of gossips here and there. Mm. It's like, it's not very significant to me. So, but I realize I see myself enjoying it when I go with people, right? And they share with me about, you know, about like how they learn, how they grow, you know, how they get to where they are at, the challenges that they face, how they overcome.
Yeah.
So these are the kind of things that I really enjoy. Mm, yeah.
Right. We rock back a little bit to real estate. So am I right to say that actually your property investment journey, the large part of your savings comes from your cupcake business?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so all these cupcakes actually help you to buy a cupcake. Yeah. Okay. So what is your plan? Like, do you actually plan like to own like multiple properties or is a milestone you set at the age of 20, 21 years old, and then now you are 23. What is your next plan? Like,
so actually, right, you know, when I started this business, right, I remember I spoke to my boyfriend and I told him like, oh, this business is not going to get me anywhere. It's not going to make me a millionaire. And then he said something really deep. He said, it might not get you a millionaire, but it will be, you know, your stepping stone into something better. Then I realized that like, that really motivated me to work so hard, because back then I was a bit like, you know, like demotivated lah. Like, you know, like a bit like, I feel like, what's the point of working so hard? It's not going to get me anywhere. This brand might die off one day. Look at how competitive Singapore is. So when he said that, right, it really motivated me to like, you know, keep going forward. So I'll say that what's my plan after this, like, I don't see my cupcake ever going so far, like, you know what, it's not gonna appear everywhere like Starbucks, that kind of thing. Or but I do see like, it can, you know, at least it gave me that head start already. It gave me that head start in life. So even if one day my business just perish no more, like just dies out, I still feel contented that it has given me this head start. And if you ask me moving forward, what do I see, right, it's like, because you know Singapore have to pay ABSD for multiple second property, right? I don't really see myself purchasing a second property for investment, more like own personal stay. But I do look at overseas lah.
As an overseas property stuff.
Correct, overseas property.
Right. Yeah. So is property the only thing that you tell yourself to invest in?
Yeah.
Okay. And you don't want to like, You felt that property is one of the most, in terms of risk level, it is stable.
Stable, la. Correct, okay. Correct.
Right. And where do you learn all your property stuff? Like you read up or...
No. Eh. No. So I just learned, it's just like my business, you know, I just learned along the way when I took it on. So it's just like when I asked about my dad's, you know, the agent that my dad recommended, I learned from him a little bit here, and then I just do a bit of read ups, like things that I'm not sure of, like example, like okay, like what's the process like to buy a property? I just Google it, you know, those kind of simple things. Yeah, but I won't say that I have like a mentor, like mentor to like really help me through the process.
So will you ever sell this property?
Why ever sell? Yeah, I look forward to after 3 years. Oh, after the seller stamp duty.
And after you sell, what will you do? Like,
maybe flip it bigger.
Oh, okay. So you want to buy a bigger one. Yeah, correct. Okay. So you actually have plans to like to increase the value of the property.
Correct, so meantime, you also save for the next down payment.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah. So have you already done your calculations? And then
at this point, I'm just a bit taking a
break.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Just to
because you save so like, much really
stress.
Hard.
Yeah. 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 Really okay. So much okay. stress.
Right. How many properties do you view before you confirm this property? Like
No, this is the only one.
Wow, okay. Yeah. And you make a swift decision.
Yeah, quite. I'll say within maybe 2 to 3 weeks. I'll say within 2 weeks after viewing.
So are you always a decisive person?
Actually, I'll say I am. So it's like when I say I'll get something done, I'll get it done. Mm. So once my mind is fixed to something, right? Just like how I say I want to do a business, I'll really go all out until it's there, you know. Just like how I said when I'm 21, I'm gonna buy my first property before 24. I really like no matter what, I'm gonna get it.
You're gonna make it happen.
Yeah, correct. I'll say like it's like stubborn but determined. Mm. Yeah.
Mm. Awesome. Right. So do you read books or like do you like consume any content?
I don't like reading. You know, it's so funny because
podcasts, things like that.
No, I don't
YouTube.
No. I'm not like I don't
TikTok, invest. Instagram, Facebook.
No eh. Like really.
What a waste of time.
No, so, you know it's quite funny because I took literature in secondary school and I've never once read the book at all. So it was all shortcuts. Like a lot of like, you know, you Google online for like the summary of each chapter. And that's how I learned. That's how I took from my O-levels. Just like,
okay.
Yeah.
So what kind of content do you consume on a daily basis? Or you don't really consume content?
Actually, I don't really. But I do like to watch motivational kind of like videos.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Like things that inspire me. Mm. It's not really like, not like those, like not like Korean dramas or like, I have no interest in them. Mm. Or even like any movies or this. Not so much. So it's more like, actually if you ask me, it's more like doing meaningful things, lor. Okay. It's just like, you know, recently I've been more free, right? So I've been like, I was like telling my family, I was like, why am I so bored now? I feel so meaningless. My life is like nothing.
Is
like,
it because after you bought a property,
right? You feel like, the goal
this milestone is done.
Yeah, done already. Okay. Then I told my mom and my dad, I was like, oh my God, I'm so free now. Look at me. I'm like not doing anything. I'm like wasting my life. Then and then my dad was just like, you must have take this time, go and exercise or do something. Then I was like, oh yeah, I should be exercise. So I started like picking on new habits. Actually, okay. I was active. I've been always active last time. But ever since my business and everything, right, I stopped.
Yeah, yeah.
So I realized like, hey, like, why am I like really got nothing in life? I realized like, wow, like at home, like because I don't even watch movies, I don't even really play games, nothing, you know. So I'm just like, my God, my life is so meaningless. I got nothing to do now apart from business. No business, like I'm really like nothing, you know. So I actually did. Oh yeah, I even started looking for like part-time jobs. Not because like I need the money, but it's because like I'm so bored at home.
So you started like hunting for jobs, yeah. Sending out a resume.
But actually, also because it was always like because you know after all this time, right? I realized that I really value having mentorship. And I really value like guidance because like close guidance. So because like the whole time, right, when I was doing my business, like I don't really have anyone like professional to really help me and to really guide me along the way. So during this whole period of time, right, when I was like, you know, getting bored and like feeling meaningless in life, like, I realized that like, I really want to work in a corporate. I want someone to teach me, like to help me to improve and grow further from what I have now.
Because you've always been alone, figuring things out alone. Correct. So you wanted like a system.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
So actually your passion is growth. Enjoy like self-growth, motivation.
And also got a habit of every...
But true relationships.
Yeah.
Not true content.
So just like...
Growing true relationships.
So you watch documentary?
Occasionally.
Motivational documentary?
Occasionally, like yeah. Right. If I do watch something, right, that will be... Yeah.
Okay, so you're like, very into like productivity. You want to like learn new things.
And I'll say that if I do watch things, right, it has to be like based on real stories.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Don't like fiction.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't like fiction. Like
correct. Something realistic. You know.
No, but when you watch Crash Landing on You, you enjoyed it, right?
Enjoyed it. Then I got so addicted, right? Then I realized, like, oh my God, why am I doing this, right?
There's a difference between enjoying and seeing value out of it. Mm. So even when you truly enjoy, when you enjoy in the moment, at the end, you won't really enjoy because you realize that actually you wasted your time.
Oh. Was that the last Korean drama you watched?
Yeah. Oh, I think that was the only Korean drama I watched.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
Yeah. What? What? Plus 3 times.
What you photo me on? Okay.
3 times.
I mean, I love to watch movies. La. Watch a lot of movies. Wow. Okay. okay, so what is your... I mean, like now at age 23... what do you want to accomplish in the next like 5 years, like by 28? How long do you think ahead? Like, do you think like 3 years? So some people think like 7 years. Some people think like they don't want to think too long. Like every year, you want to hit a milestone or like what is your mindset? How do you plan your life?
Actually, now I'm very focused on, you know, this first 3 years that I'm, you know, like on flipping my property. So I'll say that the closest goal I have now is like you know, saving enough on top of the property profit that I'll be making. So I'm actually very focused on flipping it. So okay. I don't really have much plans now. That's why I feel a little bit lost now because I'm so used to, you know, having a lot of things in my hand, you know, like having so many things on my plate that now that like I've done something so major, right? I just like feel so lost, you know, like, so now I'm still taking time to I want to take this time, this opportunity to really go out and learn. So I'll say that now my priority, right, will be on like personal growth. So this is why I decided to go on like, you know, like searching for jobs, because I feel that in my business, right, even though I've earned a lot from it, you know, like I've profited a lot, you know, but the thing is that I'm not gaining value from it. Like, what do I learn from baking cupcakes apart from money, you know, like apart from earning profit? So this is why I decided that I really want to do corporate. Like, I really like that stability as well as like, you know, having the opportunity to mix around and learning from different people. Yeah, so this is why I transition. I'm trying to transition.
So yeah. At age 26, you're very determined you will sell this property. Have you ever thought like, what's the next one that you want to buy?
Oh no, leh, never. Yet, because you know, property market keeps changing. So it's just like how when I was like 21, right, I had a vision that I really wanted to buy property at Farrer Park. Like that was like the house that I really wanted, because like, you know, like because back then that was like the affordable one, and it's like, you know, Farrer Park is a very convenient space, a place. So, you know, but when I was like 23 now, like, you know, this year's difference, I realized that I no longer look at that area anymore. I want different things as well. Yeah. And last time I used to think like, okay, one beta can now. Like can be studio also, you know. Then it's like, but now I became more like it's like your, how to say it, like, you know, you start to like think differently. You start to like be more certain of what you want specifically, instead of like, last time I was just quite generic, like, okay, just one house can already, like just one apartment can. But now I realize that, okay, minimally has to be this and that, and you know, like it has to be in order, you know.
Right. So could you share with us like maybe a final few questions, right? Is that at periods that you feel demotivated, how do you like motivate yourself? If let's say that there are times that you feel down, and
actually there's many times like in between, right, like I wanted to like give up on this, you know, like this dream, because I feel like it's taking up too much energy, you know, like even if you're not working, but you're very emotionally drained, like you're very tired. So first thing I wake up in the morning, I think about it. Then the last thing I sleep, also I think about it. Then,
about buying a house.
Yeah, buying a house. And then like, the first thing I open my mouth to my family is about a house also. It's like, okay, everything's like...
And that's for 2 years, like a whole 2 years.
No, like I'll say recently only. But those years, right, every time when I'm like tired, like I feel like rejecting orders. Like, you know, I'll think until like, I've never rejected orders. So I'll think until like non-stop one, like I can don't sleep, never mind. As long as orders keep coming in, right, I'll just keep accepting. Unless very jiala, like I want it right now, next hour. Then this kind of course not possible lah. But for me, right, like, I really push it. Like, you know, I remember this thing when there was one time during COVID, my dad actually told me, and I was doing an order, right, and I was, like, very tired. I baked from 10 a.m., right, to 3 a.m., and I still haven't finished, 10 to 3, and I didn't eat. Like, I mean, eat small meals. So, you know, eating and baking while it's in the oven, you eat. So, I didn't sit down. Then I was, like, I wanted to cry. I was, like, I'm so stressed. Then I wanted to cry. Then I realized...
Like, too many orders already.
Yeah, too many, but I just didn't limit myself. So, and I really wanted to cry. Then I told myself, you cry, you're so waste time, right? Like, myself just quickly do something, right? You know, like you know, some people have to release, right? But I'm not very emotional, I'll say. I'm not, you know, some people, like, they cannot, you know, if they cannot cope naturally, the tears will drop one. But for me, not. Like, I realize, like, cry for what? Like, myself quickly do something.
Yeah, yeah. So you seldom cry, lah.
Yeah, I don't really think, yeah, I don't, okay. I don't. So when, then I told my dad, like, my dad walked past, you know, he happened to walk past, like, you know, then he asked me, like, oh, what are you doing? Then I told him, I cannot stand it anymore. I'm so stressed. What to do? Like, all these orders accepted already, right? Then he tell me, not every day do you come by opportunities like that. When you have it, you do it. So it's like, then I realized, like, you know, it's true, you know, like, not every day my orders are flooded, you know, not every day is it business is what. Then I was thinking to myself, you know, when he said that one line, I realized, it's like, what if one day my business died? At least I know I did my best for while it lasted.
Yeah.
So I don't, you know, I don't take chances. I'll say as a person, you know, as I move forward, I don't take chances. You never know when it's like the dying phase of your business. You never know, one day you won't even have a single order. So not even I got 100 orders, I just take 100 orders. Yeah.
So do you reinvest back to your business?
Right now, I'll say it's very stagnant. So actually,
it's more about your business reinvesting in your
yeah. So what I correct. Yeah. So even actually, right, like, because to me, growth is very important. Mm. So even like, you know, back then I started on Carousell, right? When I was like, you know, when 17, I was like starting, like, do my business on Carousell. Then I realized that actually Carousell is not like profiting much anymore. So then I realized, oh my God, Carousell is dying. Like, you know, like, so it's very important to have like an open mind. So I decided that, you know, my boyfriend, he told me, why don't I go to Instagram? Instagram is like the new social media now. Then I realized, like, I don't know how to do Instagram. I don't know social media or anything. So he just told me, just do text. Like, you know, you can do tagging, all this. Then maybe you'll get a crowd. So I don't know. I was just so lucky, right? Like, that time I was so lucky. I think because the time Instagram, like, market, I mean, all like the marketplace on Instagram and Facebook, right, was relatively new. So people don't really go to the platform to sell things. Then they gave me this $10 voucher, like, to do advertisement. Then usually I like don't touch on all this because I get scammed. So because I received it from my email, so I just don't know why, just this feeling tell me to go and try it out. So just from that $10, right, like, I that $10 advertisement that I used, right, actually generated me like $100 of sales. Then I realized that, oh my God, advertisement is so important. So from there, I started doing my own research on advertising, like learning Instagram, social media advertisement. So actually, because I come from engineering background, my specialize in engineering, but it's like nothing, not relevant to, you know, what I'm doing. So I did a lot of like YouTube research and also like a lot of tutorials. And then also, like, you know, Facebook itself have like the help desk, like the support. So I did a lot of read-ups on that to actually run my advertisements. So yeah, like, I'll say that it really took a lot of, And actually, I got very lucky. So along the way, right, Facebook HQ, they gave me the, they started calling me consistently to teach me more marketing. So all these opportunities given along the way, like, awesome. I'm very good.
It seems like the main motivators in your life, because you mentioned there were a lot of like moments that you unlock your thinking is through things that your dad said, and also your boyfriend.
They always say deep things, you know, that really keep me going. There was one time recently, right, because my Facebook account got hacked, and it was like, it was so bad, right? I had like a crazy like breakdown. So I had, you know, I had a shop, so I had like a lot of like expenses to pay also. You know, I told my mom, like, oh my God, like, what if one day I ever go like gone, like my business gone, because it got hacked. And then the major sales, like most of my sales all come in from advertising. So, but the advertisement account got hacked, you know, and then Facebook is like not very,
it's
like,
very long.
I think it took 6 months, you know. Then I was thinking, how can I go 6 months without like advertising? So back then, right, wow, I really went through all out, right? And I created another, because my whole ad account is hacked already, right? I cannot even use it, right? So I created a new, like, new Instagram account and link it to the page. So I really did a lot of trial and error. I was like, for for 1-2 weeks, right, I was just like trying to link the account together and get people to advertise this new account. And I say, hey, please follow here. So each time someone follows my fake account, the backup account, right, I'll tell them, please follow this main page. So it was like a lot of work to do, but I was very determined. So that time I told my mom, like, oh my God, I got hacked already. Like I think like my business is gone. My livelihood is gone already. Like what if I ever lose my money and I have to sell my vehicle away? Because the time I just bought a company vehicle. So, and then what if my shop, I cannot pay off the rent anymore? Then she just told me, like, it's okay, lor. Even if you have everything, like, I asked her, will you still love me? Will you still love me? I cried, you know, I cried that really badly. That was the first time I broke down from my mom. Like, I asked my mom, I said, what if I can't give you the lifestyle like I do? From last time, like, I can't, you know, I can't like give you whatever you want anymore, and instead I'll be living under you, right? And you have to, like, you know, like feed support. Me, like, so she was like, it's okay, like, you still have this house, what? Why are you like scared, you know? Why?
So that was after you bought the place. Parents' place.
My parents' house. So because the time my account got hacked, and then I just felt like everything crashed down, you know, like so sway, like everything, like just the moment I just leased my shop, right? Wow, kena hack. then like,
what? Well, you just sign only.
Yeah,
right?
Like, not just sign, like, 1 month
just
after.
Just moved in only,
okay. Yeah, like move everything, like settle.
Yeah.
Oh my God, like kena hack. And then also in between, right? I'm so sway, right? I kena 5 accidents in between from my commercial. From driving.
You bought a van.
Yeah, I bought a van, but people keep langgar me, you know. Like, I don't know why. Maybe because P plate, right? So I like kinda langgar so many times, like, also like make me so scared, you know, like everything, like so much going on, you know, like,
okay, like nothing's going well.
Yeah, like, yeah, correct. Like, everything's like falling down, not what I, you know, saw it to be. Then she was like, it's okay, just sell your van lah. Like, what's the worst? Like, you know, we started breaking down the finances. Like, we started breaking down, like, okay, if I lose, you know, if I sell my vehicle, how much estimate to get? Mm. You know, like, if I stop my shop rent, how much penalty do I have to pay? Mm. So we did all those calculations. Then I realized that actually it's not as bad as I thought. You know, it's not like I'm gonna become bankrupt. Then my mom was like, you're not bankrupt. That's not the worst, you know. So then I realized that, then she told me, at least you have an experience that you learn. Then I realized that, okay, like, I'll just take it as a setback and I'll move forward from it. So that, you know, like, that emotional, like, experience I had with my mom really made me, like, gave me a sense of security. Made me realize that even if one day I lose everything, right? Yeah. Like, I don't have my business, I'm no longer well off. Like, even let's just say I live a very, maybe even below average life, right? I'm still okay because I have my mom and my dad. So that was like, that became like a priority for me. Like, it became like, I realized, like, you know, like, I don't have to have everything. Like, so you know, it gave me a lot of assurance. So whatever I do now, right, I try to do things on the safer side. Like, I mean, I've always been very safe with what I do, minimal risk. But at the same time, I also realized that I don't have to take it too hard on myself because I still have my mom and my dad.
Yeah. And they love you for who you are, not your achievements.
Correct.
And I mean, the inspiring part is also that at such a young age, you have had this realization through your business, accomplishing, and then at the same time, having that setback, I think is a very inspiring story. Yeah. Thanks for sharing. We have one last question for you, but it's always through our deck of cards. Yeah. So okay. One last question.
Yes,
okay. please you can read, out your question.
Yeah. Oh, what would you advise a child to do with their life? A child. So, can be any child, right? Okay. Not my child. So to be honest, right, because you know, I've not been academically inclined. Like, I'm not even a straight B. I don't want to say straight A's. I'm not even a B student, you know. So it's more like, it's like, okay, just nice, perfect, got into Express and then got into Poly, you know, that kind. So it's not like, for me, I used to, you know, like, when I was a bit younger, I used to think that, wow, if I don't do well, right, like, that's it, I'm a goner for life. So I realized that actually, right, like, you have to be the best version of yourself, not like someone else. And I'll say that, it's like, you know, have you all seen the Kung Fu Panda show? Like, the one that, you know, everybody is like, oh, how do I be like you? You know, the dragon warrior. And then that show really inspired me. Then that Kung Fu Panda, he was like, no, you don't have to be like me. You have to be like you. And then I realized that it's true. Everyone grows differently. So growing up, I always thought that I had to be like somebody. And that somebody is like being the academically smart person, you know, getting a stable job, maybe one day becoming a doctor, lawyer, you know, those typical stereotype good jobs. So I realized that, you know, you just have to do what you're best at doing. And then that's all that matters. Yeah. Like, it doesn't matter what people view you. You know, just like how when I started my business at the beginning, everyone's like saying like, huh, like oh, you cannot study lah. That's why you do business. You know, a lot of people have that mentality. A lot of people just like, oh, you don't have other skill set. That's why you do baking. You know, that's the only thing you have. Like, people associate my identity to this. Then I realized like, no, I don't want to be associated to an identity where people just view me so superficially. I don't just bake cupcakes, you know. I market my brand. I actually really like, I can really do things. And you know, when I actually, you know, when I started like going on for a job hunt, I actually gave myself like, basically I did tell myself that I'm not just going to settle for any jobs. Like, I'm not just going to settle for whatever career people give it to me, but I have the choice to actually, you know, really make the decision. So this is why I actually settled for like, you know, a good corporate that can really help me with my growth. So I'll say that, you know, I would say that it's very important to just be yourself as well as to be the best version of yourself. And I'll say that for how far I've actually been today, right, I'm the thing that I'm most like grateful for is the fact that I'm able to make choices that's actually good for me and not just because of my circumstance. You know, some people are just like, oh, I have no choice. I have to just, you know, go and work because I need money to put food on the table. But the reason why I'm working is not because I need the money, but because I want personal development. And this is the, you know, the main motivation that I want to work so hard, I get to make choices that's really good for me as a person and my you know, my growth.
You don't want to be forced to make
decisions. Correct. It's not just doing it because you have to do it, because it's good for your circumstance, but it's good for yourself. So yeah, that's my advice.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Thanks for sharing.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Okay, wait, before we end, right, you know, this whole conversation really reminded me of a podcast that I was listening to just this morning. Yeah, so I was listening to this podcast called The Future Is Now. So it's by this, the guest speaker is basically, I think, this professor or psychologist at UCLA. And then he wrote this thing called, this book called The Future Is Now, right? And what The Future Is Now is saying, right, that people have a very, very hard time making good decisions now because they have a trouble associating their present self with their future self.
Yeah.
So they see their future self, right, as someone that is separate from who they are now. So it's like, it's easier to like eat that cupcake. It's easier to like give up, cancel the order, you know, give correct, in, sleep correct. In now because we cannot see that future self as part of us. Yeah, so it was a very interesting concept, right, that he did, like there were a few experiments that were being done, but if you were able to understand that that future self, so at 21, recognizing that at 23, this self, right, and whatever this self wanted to achieve is the same person,
yeah,
that will help us to stick to decisions in the present. Yeah, so like, because your 21-year-old self was able to recognize that at 23, these are the things you want to do and you want to achieve, and to recognize that it's the same person. Because sometimes we see our future selves as something that's so far-fetched and a different person. Yeah, so because you were able to recognize that, that's why you made good decisions. Yeah. Correct.
Thank you. Oh, that's also, yeah, great
it's
sharing.
It's great. Yeah. Awesome. Thanks for sharing. You're already inspiring people now.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So much.
Thank you. Exactly. Thanks for sharing your journey.
Yeah, I feel so happy to be here. Thank you.
Thank you
so much, Min. Thank you.
All right.
And then there was one time, my mom, like, just because my dad's very, like, you know, like, very hard up, that kind of person, right? So, but one day he just hugged my father. And my father, like, shocked. like because my mom asked him to do it. Then I think out of high standards, he did it, right? You know, he, like, just gong gong do it, right?